Translation. Thus the king, devoted descendant of the Pandavas, decided once and for all and sat on the Ganges bank to fast until death, and gave himself up to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So freeing himself from all kinds of associations and attachments, he accepted the vows of a sage. Purport. The water of the Ganges sanctifies all the three worlds, including the gods and demigods, because it emanates from the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Vishnu. Lord Krishna is the fountain head of the principle of Vishnu Tattva, and therefore shelter of his lotus feet can deliver one from all sins, including an offense committed by a king unto a brahmana. Maharaj Parikshit therefore decided to meditate upon the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna, who is Mukunda, or the giver of liberation of all description. The bank of the Ganges or the Yamuna gave one a chance to remember the Lord continuously. Maharaj Parikshit freed himself from all sorts of material association and meditated upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And that is the way of liberation. To be free from all material association means to cease completely from committing any further sins. Interesting. To be free from all material association means to cease completely from committing any further sins. To meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord means to become free from all, from the effect of all previous sins. The conditions of the material world are so made that one has to commit sins willingly or unwillingly. And the best example is Maharaj Parikshit himself, who was a recognized, sinless, pious king. But he also became a victim of an offense. Even though he was ever unwilling to commit such a mistake, he was cursed also, but because he was a great devotee of the Lord, even such reverse of life became favorable. The principle is that one should not willingly commit any sins in his life and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. Only in such a mood will the Lord help the devotee make regular progress towards the path of liberation and thus attain the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if there are accidental sins committed by devotee, the Lord saves the surrendered soul from all sins, as confirmed in all scriptures. Svapada mulam bhajata priyasya tyaktva bhavasya hari parisha vikarmayach chotpatitam katanchid dunoti saram hridi sanivishtam. Om Agyanatim Rasya Granjana Shalakaya Chakshum Tamina Tasmai Shri Yurve Namha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashita Patale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swam Timina Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nurshya Shashuna Dipashata Dashtarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. As few verses before in this one, this kind of in our mind also debate, is it Ganga or Yamuna? Yesterday, Dayal Baladev touched some points on. He said in the verse itself, Ganga, and it's translated as a Yamuna river. A word given here for Ganga is Vishnu Padyam, which for any common man in India, any scholar, simply if a river, name for river Vishnu Padyam simply means one, which is Ganga. Not to be confused with the word Padayam. Padyam and Padayam is kind of two opposite words in Sanskrit. Padaya means to go towards or to take shelter of Vishnu in this case. Padya means kind of opposite, emanating from. And those who are pujaris, they know padyam. What means padyam? Means water for washing lotus feet of the Lord. So that's a Ganga. But Yamuna is also Vishnu padyam. There's no difference. I'll give you a nice story about origin of Yamuna. They said in the spiritual world of Gokula Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, sorry, be the same anyway. There was a real Yamuna, which is considered to be like a blue sapphire necklace on the neck of the Lord Krishna. She's flowing there, giving a pleasure to Krishna and all denizens. And then, when she was flowing around, just on outskirts of Goloka Vrindavan, she met her sister, River Ganga. She seemingly be hasting somewhere, rushing, going somewhere in great excitement. So she was asking, Yamuna asked, "Where are you going, oh sister?" He said, "I'm being requested by the Lord to descend to lower region, into material world, to assist in his pastimes. First as a Shyama Gaur or Shyama Sundara in Vrindavan, and later on in Navadvip. And he requested you also to join me." So these two sisters, very happily, excited, joined together and continued to flow. They passed through all the regions of Vaikuntha planets until they came to the covering of the universe. So they stopped, although they were very excited at the beginning. They were hesitant because seeing the gloom and darkness in the material world, which was due to forgetfulness of Krishna, they stopped and hesitant in the fear to go further. And at that moment, what happened in that moment? Can you guess? It's Lord Vamanadev, toenail, protruded through the coverings of the universe. And they could see Lord Vamanadev in the arena of Bali Maharaj by his glance, giving them assurance, encouragement to continue, that everything will be perfect. So they took courage and then descend into a gloomy place. First they visited Dhruva Loka to take darshan of Dhruva Maharaj, his blessings, his encouragement first. And from that place, boat river, descendant to the Mount Meru, abode of Lord Brahma. In that place, they split it in four. All this massive water, enormous massive water, split in four sides of Meru Mountain. And southern part of the river is known to us as Ganga, Ganges. On this Mount Meru, they split again. Ganga and Yamuna, they separated again. And River Yamuna cascade to the Himalaya region in on the top of the mountain Kalindi. Himalaya is such an amazing region, like it's just incredible, like such a vast, vast mountainous region. So many peaks of different names. It's incredible potency, but you can sense impersonal kind of powerful energy there. If you ever, anyone been in Himalayas, like incredible place there, especially like when you go Kailash. And I've not been so high up to Yamunotri, but it's incredible pure place, like for tyagis, for yogis, perfect. So River Yamuna cascaded on the Mount Kalindi, where Ganga went down there in the other mountain, which is more on the east side. Kalindi is on the west side. And then, of course, from that place of Brahmaloka, Ganga itself, she was still forceful, although she split it in four, still was very forceful. Yamuna Devi separated, still was very forceful. And before she reached Himalaya region, then Lord Shiva was there to take this on his hair. So, and then this river split in many branches in his hair, so loosened his strength Otherwise, you just wash out all planet Earth. So Yamuna River cascaded to Kalinda. I went through there, and just a few miles on the foothill of Kalinda is a place called Yamunotri, of course. This Yamunotri, there are two places, Yamunotri, Gangotri, which is earthly source of those rivers. So in Yamunotri is the source of the river Yamuna, and she continued down towards Indraprasth to take shelter, protection of Pandavas. I was interested in that. I said that he mentioned that, Parikshit Maharaj went to bank of Ganga for the last 7 days, but there's no logic there, although you know also the statement of Rupa Goswami. Because nowadays Delhi is former Indraprasth, or Hastinapur, isn't it? Anyway, I mix these two always. But to reach the Ganga River from abode of Maharaj Parikshit, and then many Hindus believe that he went to Haridwar to meditate there, which is about 200 kilometers from the place. So for this, you need to walk about 2 days and two nights if you don't stop at all. And probably this is just a straight line, but it's very inaccessible regions there. Probably needs about 2-3 days. So Maharaj Parikshit wouldn't waste his time for so long to reach that place. He has 7 days to leave. And besides that, he was pure lover, devotee of Krishna since very birth. Why should go on a less significant place, Ganga? But Yamuna was flowing just on his doorstep, basically. He would go there. And also, if he didn't go to Hastinapur, closer point of the bank of Ganga from Delhi or Hastinapur is about 100 kilometers also. So you need at least a day or two. By walk, probably more. It's a very mountainous region there. So by all statements, by all logic, by statements of, is it Rupa Goswami or Jiva Goswami? I forgot. He took shelter of Yamuna, of course, there. So then, Yamuna mother took shelter of Pandavas, continued to flow towards Gokul. She went flowing through all the regions, to all places, take darshan of all entire Vraja Dham, and then I think on Vishwamgat place in Vrindavan, she took rest, and from there she split in many different branches to take darshan, parikram of all places in Vrindavan, Govardhan, Nandagaon, Varshan, all forests of Raja. And then on the Madhuvan she joined again and continued to flow on the outskirts of Vrindavan and went down all the way. And in the, not Haridwar, in confluence of Ganga and Yamuna in Triveni there, how you call this place? In Triveni, how you call that place where it's Kumbh Mela, big Kumbh, in Triveni, but there's a name, Al. Anyway, this place, yeah. So she joined again to Ganga together, and then there start to flow separately. One side is Yamuna, I guess his western side is Yamuna, eastern side is Ganga. So they continue to flow all the way down together until they reach Ganga Sagar, took shelter of Lord Kapila there, continue to flow in the ocean. And that place, Yamuna decided to separate again, because Ganga was ordered to continue to flow to lower region also, Patala Loka, to sanctify, purify, even lower regions. But Yamuna asked permission from Ganga, please can I depart back to Goloka, Vrindavan? And then Ganga said, oh, you're so glorious, what can I say about you? When my water is sanctified 100 times, is known as your name, Yamuna, which is, we heard already every class almost last few days. So then Ganga descended down, but Yamuna crossed the ocean reach again the of Jambudvip, cross all the oceans in Jambudvip, and then reach the Lokaloka mountain, which is golden mountain around. It's the last portion of matter, material things in this universe. From behind is, which is darkness. So she ascended, the river ascended to this mountain, and then the same pathway which was marked by Lord Vamanadeva, she returned back to Golka Vrindavan. That's a Dishavarava Muna. So the both of them are Vishnu Padyam. They're coming from the toes of Lord Vishnu, so there is no difference. Yamuna is also Vishnu Padyam. And there's a further story that when she is descended from the mountain Kalinda, so therefore sometimes it's called Kalindi. She's a daughter of king of mountain of Kalinda. But if you look for origin of mother, I mean of Yamuna, my inner spiritual world, say that Vishakha Devi, Mother Vishakha Kijai, Vishakha Devi, she expanded herself into liquid form to facilitate and give pleasure to Krishna. So that's kind of origin, if you say. But in this material world, Yamuna itself, water of Yamuna are expansion of Vishakha Devi. But there is also presiding deity of Yamuna, which is Yami. Yami is a sister of Yamaraj. She's a daughter of Sangod. So once upon a time, because they were very affectionate to each other, Yamaraj and Yami or Yamuna, so he asked her, please find your suitable husband for yourself. And she meditated, considered a long time, and decided that no one else, absolutely, than Krishna himself can be her husband. But for that fruit, it will be very fortunate. So she decided to perform great austerities. So she then entered in the waters of Yamuna. She's presiding at Yamuna. She entered in the Yamuna, and then Surya Dev, out of affection, created for her a nice abode within the water of Yamuna. She performed austerities there for a long, long time. And later on, much later, Krishna, he would visit after constructing city down on the water. He would visit Pandavas regularly. And once on a hunting excursion, him and Arjuna, they were near place, Yamuna, very thirsty, tired. They went there to the spot, to quench their thirst, to refresh water Yamuna. And Yamuna was there. She came out, a very beautiful girl, just walking on the bank there. And then Krishna saw her and then sent Arjuna, please go ask this girl, who is she, what she is doing? And then Arjuna went there on his behalf and asked her, oh, beautiful lady, what are you doing in this place, remote place, alone? You must be searching for a husband. Arjuna was straightforward, Kshatriya knows. And she told him about herself, about her austerities. My name is Kalindi, and I perform great austerity. Unfortunately, my only desire is to marry only Lord Vishnu, Krishna, no one else. And Arjuna was very impressed with her determination, his austerity, and he went back to Krishna. He told him, what's the situation? Krishna, of course, immediately accepted Kalindi, and they went together on the chariot. Later they marry. So this is a story of Yamuna Devi. Okay. I just kind of calculated when I go back to the Maharaj Parishit. You would walk from Delhi to Haridwar. It took him, by this calculation, 41 hours and 12 minutes, if you wouldn't stop at all and go just straight line, which is not possible. So it's about 200 kilometers, as I said. So there are a few points in this verse, but I'll just focus on one interesting point. I said the Maharaj Parikshit also, he didn't want to commit sin, but somehow he did. It's an interesting thing, you know. He didn't want, but how is that? He didn't want, but you did. It's like, sorry, I don't want to beat you, but I have to. It's exactly the same as I want to beat you and I beat you, because you're beaten up anyway, in both cases. So I don't know how we draw the line, like I don't want, but I did. See, said conditions of the material world are so made that one has to commit sins willingly or unwillingly. And the best example is Maharaj Parikshit himself, who was recognized sinless, pious king, but he also became victim of an offense, even though he was ever unwilling to commit such a mistake. So I know when one should be forgiven if he does again and again. Like if one struggles with short temper, I don't know, a problem relating to people, just all the time, but somehow conflicts. So I don't know where is the line, especially if it happens again and again and again. We know the character is very hard to change. You know, he just comes out, you know. A Prabhupada says here that the principle is that one should not willingly commit any sin in his life and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. So to commit sins unwillingly, repeatedly, is interesting, you know. It's like, you know the movie, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. This is a very old movie, which is like two split personalities. A day he would be a respectful doctor, but at night he would turn into a kind of beast-like creature, Mr. Hyde. He would just around go do heinous activities. He just, you know, so can you know. Maybe it depends on relationship with a sinner, you know. If you're a spouse, maybe tolerance must be there or whatever. He's a king. You know that for a long time they tolerated King Vena, or despite of his atrocity. Your father, he said, to angry father you should always forgive, or Brahmana. But Krishna says, I will chop off my own hand for Brahmana. So even if Brahmana is angry and it chastises you, insults you, should tolerate like you tolerate angry father. Yes, never retaliate. That's an interesting point. So depends on relationship, see. And on the end is a quoted famous Sanskrit verse here that one who has thus given, is only Sanskrit given in verse, but it's a translation here. One who has thus given up all other engagement and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very, very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction of a sin. So if you commit just accidentally, you know. So what means accidental sin? That's interesting, you know. Does include repeatedly and due to weakness of heart. Hridaya Durlabhyam. This very elaborate description of many books, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur, on this syndrome of weakness of heart. That means you are pulled irresistibly towards sense objects, see, and not able to resist temptations. Therefore, this is actually, if not the most, probably biggest obstacle for us, why we are pulled back and then we just can't surrender. We cannot surrender due to this, you know, Hridaya Durlabhyam. See. What is that accidental activities? I mean, is that only if you don't plan sinful activities? Then you may be considered to the weakness, like kind of accidental, if you don't plan it. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sitano Lakshman Man, Shri Gorintai Ki Jai. This is like, especially in some verses, one of the main three obstacles in our spiritual life is weakness of heart. Hridaya, in heart, Durlabha. Dur means sinful. You know what I mean? That means word Duryodhana. That means, you don't know what it means, Duryodhana. It means Dhri fighter. Dhri, like very ruthless. Also means trouble, miseries, but means Durga. Means fourth. You are restrained. So this Durlabhyam, you know, like a knot in the heart. Hridaya Durlabhyam. Dur. Also, something very slow and long can be dur. In India, you know what means durya? Kitna dure? And ask somebody, how long? I remember when we were actually flying, rafting all the way from up to the Amuna, near very source, all the way down through Vrindavan. We had a few times near-death experience on the rafts there. But then when you go to those places, you just rowing and rowing and rowing. You ask these villagers, how long is such a place which we expect to be? Kitna dure, we ask. How long? How far? So 1 kilometer. You meet after 1 hour another person. How long that place? Oh, 2 hours. And then another person, just half an hour. You know, so nobody, I know. Kitna dure, how long? Very slow. That's a dur. They said that when we talk about hrida durlabhya, weakness of heart, there are few types of, which means object, attachment to object not related to Krishna. We all know that. Otherwise you would surrender immediately. But the object which pulling our heart to their sides, like our ideas, maybe, or propensities, attachments. Attraction not related to Krishna. So just pulling us away. Therefore he said, I don't want, but I just can't resist, like pulling you something. That's a weakness of heart there. It pushing you to satisfy senses with the hope that somehow you'll give me some satisfaction. See, it takes you away. Of course, and there are other means, deceitfulness or fault finding. There's another attachment which makes heart weak. Fault finding, kind of. You know, you can resist to criticizing and see the bad, especially Kali Yuga, what you can do is so many bad things, you know, clinging to negative, you know. I have one brother, he's great conspiracy theories, like bombing my head with all this. It's incredible what people make up, you know, like, and when you hear that, it just sounds so logically convincing. There's a line of thought, because this material world is such a marketplace of so many things happening, and very easy, you can pick up and make trade line and support your any idea you want, with total conviction. So that's a kind of this theory going around, you know. So that's a kind of like, you have your senses and try to make sense of it. So, you know, that's a mind kind of a propensity to just criticize, find fault, see. Then third is enviousness. We are envy. This also makes heart very weak, and desire for fame, desire for their own. He said, a weakness of heart may be analyzed as attachment to trifling things unrelated to Krishna. Deceit, envy of someone else's progress, or longing for position of fame. So when our heart wants really something else but Krishna, and in our beginning definitely we are full of these desires, you know, we come there to have some experience, to try out, but we still kind of clinging on our former attachment, whatever it is. It's like, it's very common to find devotee, I don't know, who has his own attachments and brings small piece of it with them. And then, okay, I was very fond, I don't know, watching movies. Okay, 1 hour a day I'll spend only now. But regardless of sadhana I'm doing now, association, 1 hour a day, just kind of see the movie or whatever. Can be even worse. We know what is our greatest attachment. So this kind of thing, like you know, you try, but you not give your best. You know, that's which pulls us back. If you feed bad dog even a little bit, you become strong enough to bite you. So these are our attachments. You know, so you have to have the strength to kind of make transition for some time. Just put this in a shelf and try out, and it will work definitely. Definitely work. If you can reach at least stage of Namabhas, you can say, consider yourself safe from all this lower attachment. Even a little bit, like a little bit attachment to the holy name. A little bit. You know, steadiness. I mean steady attachment. So I'm not talking here about steadiness according to Nectar Devotion, like steadiness which is, you know, which gives you ecstatic symptoms, or, you know, they're even higher form of steadiness, just before perfection. Doing a steady attachment for the holy name, steady attraction, that means that every day you chant, you get something out of it. You get some, you know, touches your heart. Something, you know, which, you know, gives you profound experience. That means about that. If you reach that state every day, a little bit, then, you know, then naturally you will increase your chanting. This will save you. This will slowly purge all your heart from these attachments. See? That's the kind of attachment. Slowly start to grow through chanting. A little bit steady, a little bit, you know. God said, even a little bit steady attraction will produce. What does Vishayavinavartante nihara niraharasya dehinam raso varjam raso piyasya param deshanivartate. Even a little bit progress on this path can save one from greatest form of fear. So this little bit, this is our success. You know. Fortunately, this Mahamantra is so powerful, our movement rely on that, and all success is you can say due to that. One gets a little bit attraction, and somehow, even if he leaves, this impression just leaves such a profound impression on his mind that even if he goes and tries to enjoy, and even if he succeeds somehow, forget himself, and you know, this thing on the end will, you know, when he meets frustration, remember this nectar. So this little bit attraction can really save you. You know. Lack of determination, this is also Hridaya Durlabham. The same, you can say. Lack of determination means not in the heart also. Means Hridaya Durlabham also, weakness of heart. Like you know, let me, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, let me indulge in sense gratification today. Just today. Tomorrow I will give it up, I promise. Today I just a little bit, you know. That's a, you know, weakness of heart. Like, I know, the devotee, I don't know, somebody mentioned in class also. He just joined, he was ecstatic, but then I'm thinking, let me just once more visit the, whatever, woman, prostitute. Just once. Promise. But you did so many times. This just increases attachment. Like, anything. So, just today, you know, just last point, like you think, like, last moment, like, this is what you do in all your life. Okay, now it will give me full satisfaction, whatever it is, and then I'll give it up. But it doesn't give you, it doesn't leave you alone. So, you know, you say, yes, you know, it just goes on and on. That's, you know. So whatever one feels that there'll be obstacle on the path of devotional service, scripture said one should immediately give it up by the strength of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. That means that, you know, obstacles. It means you have to first have ability to recognize your accident. You know, so recognize what is that causing my accidents. First recognize. And then you have to make a plan. This anartha has to go. You must. No way, you know. So those who fail to make such effort miss the opportunity to gain the holy name's mercy, without which no one can surmount the obstacles of Krishna consciousness. So determination is the root of sadhana. If there is absence of determination, spiritual life will not be advanced even a step. There must be some, which is based, and again, on faith, or shraddha, which is first step towards prema. Yeah. Attempts to preach even by a weak-hearted devotee will not bear the fruit. People can sense, we know that. Prabhupada is amazing, he said, purity is the force, it's so truth. Doesn't matter what you imbibe yourself with the knowledge, whatever. But everybody can sense that, you know, that there is no potency to transmit to anyone's heart this conviction. Because there's no conviction, that's all that is, you know. Yeah. Weak-hearted means there's no conviction inside. Not enough. I said, although we distinctly have some desires for purity, desires for self-realization, and unconditional service, weak constitution indicates that our unhealthy desires far outweigh our positive desires. That's a weakness of heart. Like again, we pray, fall prey to our creeping attachments. That's why we go slow. We all experience. We would like to go faster. But it's like a, you know, like a big ship anchored very strongly. It can float a little bit around, but it just can break off, comes back. That's our attachments, you know. It doesn't matter how far you go, this Hridaya Durlabhyam pulls you back. It takes a long time. Like, if you have, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of stories of kings, of almost self-realized people who kind of drew to that, they fall until they got sick of it in the end. So that's a design, is like this, you know. How can we become determined and courageous? Nectar of Instruction says we must hear Krishna Katha constantly. We mentioned a few others there. You have to open yourself completely and put your judgment aside, fully just hear and hear from pure sadhus. See? Said, while hearing Krishna Katha, we have to lock up in a dungeon our worldly experience and arguments, exclude them completely, which is very difficult for our false ego, of course. Means open to hear completely, close up our views. We need this. By hearing powerful glories, topics of the Lord from the living saintly persons, all ananatas, our weakness of heart, are destroyed and our heart will be filled with strength. So, rapt attention, hearing, that's a solution. And then, by some fortune, not to give in to our small attachment. It's interesting that we have our small attachment. It's fairly easily, you see how that goes. We have small attachments. And if we don't learn initially, which is fairly easy to restrain ourselves from these small pricks of attachments, when big attachment comes, it will fall definitely. So therefore, it's good. It's there, it's prick. It's not like spiritual life is smooth. It's always prick there. If you can sense the energy pulling of sense object or whatever we are. But if we learn to cope with that, we can become more stronger. And in the end, the same, like it's mentioned that it's very connected example. Once I mentioned, you know, in the warfare, Vedic warfare, Chakravyuha. See, Chakravyuha is special formation of armies, which many circles, levels. And first one, the level, is designed in such a way, first to agitate the enemy and agitate him to fight with that first circle of soldiers. And it's all designed, the kind of, they push him inside, that they kind of trick him, they push him inside of that first circle. As soon as he enters there, all formation changes his tactics. It just doesn't allow him to get out. And then he has to fight second circle. And the same happened. It's kind of designed in such a way that he kind of enters next circle. And then this also formation changes. He cannot come out. In this way, he's pushed all the way, I think it's about six, whatever, eight circles, until he comes in the core and fight most formidable enemy, which is no chance if he doesn't know. Like we know Abhimanyu. He knew how to break through. Didn't have the knowledge to break out. He was promised by Pandavas, we'll take care of behind, scattered all these guys that to allow you to come back. But somehow, it didn't happen. It's very, this formation is very, very strong, very intelligently made. So, that's without desires also. You don't resist the first one, you push the next one, you fail. The spiritual death almost in the middle. That's a comparison with what I'm talking about. It's like a temptation. It's like you enter into a garden, a rose garden, but unmaintained garden. The thorns everywhere. You know, rose, a beautiful flower, very smelly, very, very fragrant, but so many thorns if it's not maintained. So you enter there, and those thorns in the rose garden is like our practice devotional service. And those thorns, these are our propensity, our lusty desires, our bad attachments. So don't touch it. You know, so if you are really strict in regulations, you can enjoy garden still, beautiful, vast garden, but thorns are there. So stay away. That's what it is, you know. That's the thing. Not be able to restrain. Those are small things, like, you know, you don't need to eat sweets every day, you don't need to every day. These are small things. Makes you stronger. you know, don't touch. See? So this pricking of temptation is good to make you strong. That's all what I have to say. When there are a temptation of digression, urge to be confronting, to be angry, to be condescending, to envy, one must control the mind by Shastra. So we must start at some point follow scriptures, actually. That's all come to that. At some point we have to really start to follow scriptures. There's no way that it's going to happen, but some magic and no way. You have to start to follow. See. Gaur Premanande. I don't talk anymore. Strangle everybody. Is everyone having something to say or whatever? Then we finish here. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.